How nice it is to see each one of you today, and we're certainly honored and privileged to have young people from Oakwood University with us this morning. When I looked at that video, I was moved to see what these young people were willing to do. See that it was just a quick shot as it went by. They took that little baby. They're laying him in a grave, but no wrapping, no clothes, no casket, just putting him in a hole. And we are so fortunate in the country in which we live. I was listening this, I believe it was Thursday night, to Give Me the Bible with Kenneth Cox. And he was talking about what's happening in the world today and his visit recently to India. And he said it broke his heart to see what children were doing. There was a broken sewer pipe, and they had their hands in the sewer water as it ran through, gathering any particles of food that went down the sewer. Now, I can hardly believe that, but the fact that he said it, I believe it. But he said he was so moved, it took him 2 days. He went to his room, and he could not come out of that room for 2 days because of what he had seen there. And we can hardly imagine this in the country in which we live. But I know that there's poverty around us, and we have been called, those who are more fortunate, that we would take care of those who are less fortunate. And I'm sure that if we were in Mozambique or wherever, downtown New York or downtown Augusta for that matter, we find those in need, we help. I know that even last week there was a lady attended the church and presented a need, and I know that our people reached out to her with money and food. And what that tells me is the attributes of God is in our hearts, and that's good. I'm certainly thrilled that we could have a young man, Mr. Wolke. Wolke comes all the way from 80. He's attending Oakwood University. What's your major? Theology there. We have several theology majors. We have a couple theology majors for sure. We have an English major that's completed, biology major here today. God is so good. Wokely, I just ask God's blessings on you, the NAPS group. By the way, how large is the NAPS group at Oakwood?
About 80 people? About 80 members.
About 80 members. And do all of you go out every year, or we just take different groups, different projects?
Usually when we have a set amount that goes overseas. While we have a group here and during the summer that works in the States as well, perhaps with ASI or maybe a different site. We work where we do Bible work and as well as evangelistic meetings. The same way as we do it overseas, we do it here as well in different states.
Oh, okay. Well, I just ask that the Lord would bless you and your ministry in a mighty way. God bless you this morning as you bring us the message.
Good morning, church. My name is Wolke, as Pastor already said, and I'm very happy and excited and honored as well to share this pulpit and to stand behind after you. It is a pleasure to be here this morning and this Sabbath. The Sabbath is always a blessed day, amen? And this morning we just going into God's Word, just a little bit, and I will be sharing some testimonies with you concerning what God has done for me. It's interesting that Pastor mentioned that I'm from Haiti. In 1997, the NAPS group, as you noticed in the video, the NAPS group went to Haiti, and the site where they were actually staying was where my brother was going to school, myself as well, and when I came to Oakwood, And I was told that they were in Haiti the very same time I was studying in school. So I thought that was cool. And I know that the Lord brought me in there. I'm in that ministry just so that as they were ministering to my people in Haiti, now the Lord brought me so I can continue to minister abroad to other people. So I praise God for that. And this morning our title for just a little thought this morning is the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit. Let us say a word of prayer. Gracious Father, Lord Almighty, we thank you so much for your love and mercy. And we thank you, Lord, for this awesome privilege, O God, to share a word for you, O God Almighty, in season. Father, Lord, I stand now, Lord, in the place where Christ would have stand, O God. For, Lord, the Bible explained that he stood in the synagogue, O God Almighty, and teach. So, Father, I pray, O Lord, even now, that you will anoint, O God Almighty, with clarity, but your spirit, O God, and that your people may be blessed. In Jesus' name, amen. We turn our Bibles to Matthew 28. And we'll read verses 16 through 20. I'll read in your hearing. Oh, and by the way, this is the last scene before, we have a little bit more after in Acts, but this is the last scene with the disciples with Christ and in Matthew. And they had seen everything that Jesus has done. You know, they have been with him for 3.5 years and have witnessed miracles and all these different beautiful things they have seen. They have come to understand that Jesus is the Messiah. But nonetheless, you know, he died, and they were kind of confused because they did not have this in their script in their mind, you know, because they thought, you know, he will come and redeem them, and they will be the people, they will rule the world, and all these different things. But Jesus died, so they were confused. And so when Jesus came again, then they were like, wow, so the things he was telling us are true, so he must be the Messiah. But this is interesting, the last part of the chapter here, in verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. It is amazing that after the disciples have witnessed so many different things, and now the last scene before Jesus ascended, he invited disciples to meet them at a specific location. And, they listened and they followed the command of Christ, and they went and met Jesus at a specific location. But Jesus noticed something. Even then, they still had uncertainties in their hearts, because the Bible revealed that some doubted. And because Christ can read the mind, he knew that something was uneasy with them. You see, these people had seen Jesus do many different things, and Jesus had, had told them already that they would have power, they would do this and that and the other. But nonetheless, some doubted, the Bible said. Perhaps they doubted that Christ would never ascend it to heaven, or I'm not sure exactly what was in their minds, because we find in different accounts that we find that some not only doubted, but they wanted to Thomas wanted to touch Jesus, to see if he was real and all these different things. But the Bible revealed that some doubted, and because they doubted, Jesus had to give them a revelation again and told them something that is so deep in Scripture and even our commission. He says, because they doubted, he says, all power is given unto me. And now, you see, if these guys never doubted, Jesus would never, give them that, affirmation. But he gave them an affirmation to let them know that, don't worry about, all these things you have in your mind. Now, remember this, all power is given unto me, both in heaven and as well as on the earth. And so these guys now, when they left, they now know with confidence that Jesus has all power. Now, the same guy, the same friend that they had for 3.5 years walking along with him, Now, this is the very same friend that they have, who has all power, both in heaven and the earth, who has all authority, that they now they can be confident wherever they go, that their friend who said that, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, this friend will continue to be with them, and not only that, but he has all power. That means whatever comes to them, whatever, you know, whatever come after them, they don't have to worry about it. Why? Because Jesus has all powers, and he is their friends. And so we have the same commission to us today, because we are his disciples. And so we as well, our friend has all powers. Now, this is interesting because Jesus says, I have all powers, therefore go. And so he didn't say that you have all powers, but he says, I have all powers, therefore go. So basically he's saying, everything is on my shoulder, but you go because I got you. And so I just want to you guys to remember that Jesus has all powers, and he asks us to go. Not because we have anything in ourselves that is, you know, special, but simply because he has all powers, both in heaven as well as on the earth. And that's why he says go. And you have seen several different testimonies on the video about what, you know, the Lord has been able to do through us. It's not because we special or anything like that, but simply because Jesus has all powers and he has bidden us to go. And so, but I wanted to look into Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And this is the last piece of instruction Jesus gave them before he went. Okay, let us read. But he shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and he shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the utmost part of the earth. Now, this is the same thing we have already said, that Jesus bid them to go now. Why? Because he has all powers. And it is, you know, the Bible explains that Jesus, you know, he is the hope of glory that lives within us. And in chapter 15 of John, he explained that the Comforter will come and he will dwell in us, you know. And so the power of Christ, the Holy Spirit, is what he has given to us, and he asked us to go. And so in the video, you have seen several scenes about how what the work of the Holy Spirit is. When you read into the book of Acts, you see the disciples doing several miracles. They go places, they say, and whatever their word says, you know, whatever they say with their mouths come to reality, not because they have powers, but because they trust in the authority of Christ. And, you know, when Jesus says something, you know, the thing has no choice but to respect what Christ says, because he has all authority. Because he is above and beyond everything, that whatever matter, whatever it is here, as well as on earth. And so I'm reminded of, you know, last year, 2 years ago, I dedicated a year of doing missionary work. And through that year, we went to Brazil. And while we were in Brazil, we went to a church to help them out, as well as to build a structure for them. The church was actually, these people are Indians from Guyana, and from the jungle in Guyana. And so they went to Brazil, but due to the lack of funds and all these different things, that they only had like four poles and a tarp on top of that's where they worship. So when we came in, we wanted to do evangelism and to bring people in and all these different things. So we started to work as well as to build a structure for them. And we built a large church, 500-member church, but we only had 4 weeks to stay in Brazil. So whatever could be done would have to be done through the work, through the Holy Spirit. And now, mind you, it was only five of us. And you guys can see me. I'm no great stature or anything, so I've never done construction work before in my life. But nonetheless, we went there, and we had this big building we had to build. And through the work, you know, while we're doing the building, we also doing evangelistic meetings in the evening, and we also were to do Bible studies during the day. And so all these different things, and it was five guys and three young ladies. And so we went, and through the grace of God, we built a big structure. Now, the people over there were so excited. People would pass by and stop on their bicycles, on their motorcycles, and just like, wow. Because they're looking at the structure, they're looking at the church, and they were so amazed at what they were seeing and how fast it was growing. They cannot understand how can a church building of 500 members large be built within 3 weeks. They could not understand it. We ourselves, we were amazed as well. We can understand. I was excited just to see myself going on the ladder, let alone build a structure. But nonetheless, the Lord blessed. And when it was time for us to put the roof, usually in order for you to put the roof over there, they were telling us that the building would have to be there for 7 weeks. And so for the columns to be dry enough, because we had put concrete and stuff like that, it takes a while for them to dry. But we wanted to finish the structure before we left. And so within the fourth week before we left, we said we have to put the column. So we prayed the night before, and we were asking the Lord, you know, because we wanted to do the baptisms within the sanctuary, and that the people would worship in the sanctuary. The last time, the last program we would do was to be done inside the sanctuary. So after praying several times, and then on the next day, we decided to put the columns. And these people were like, ah, these guys, you know, they're just kids. They don't understand this and that and the other. But the Lord blessed. The columns went up straight, and everything, the concrete was dry enough to support it. And till today, the church remains standing, and we praise God for that. And it's not because we are anybody better. In fact, they knew construction work more than we do. But the only thing was, it was the work of the Holy Spirit. So because of that, we praise God. And another testimony is that along that one day when my friends were going to do Bible studies, mind you, this is Portuguese. I mean, in Brazil, so they speak Portuguese there, and most people don't speak English. And so we wanted to do visitations, but we didn't have a translator at that moment because the person, you know, they had to go to school and come back. And so we decided to go anyhow. We pray, and we ask the Lord to be with us, and then somehow He will provide so that we'll be able to speak. So myself and a young man named Brian, we went down the street, and then we saw a gentleman on his porch. So we said, "Hi, how you doing?" And then he didn't understand what we said, but he knew we said hello. So he said, "Hi," back. And so we try and say hello Portuguese, Dios te bendiga, different things. And so he says, "Come, come." So we came into the house, and we sat there, and his wife was watching. And so he bid the wife to come as well, and both of them sat there now, and they're expecting the very same thing they have seen us do with the translators, with other people. They expect us to do the same thing with them. And so now I'm looking at my friend, and then we're laughing. They're looking at us, they're laughing, and they would say things. She would the wife would say things to the wife to the husband. And then they will laugh. And then we were like, man, but we want to communicate with them. So we prayed. And after we finished praying, we started speaking to them in English. And they replied back to us in Portuguese. But we would understand each other. We understand each other. They told us different things about them. They told us that they were Catholic. But they enjoy the program that we do. They say that they have seen us go on different places. They enjoy the program every night because where they sit, they can hear what's going on in the church. So they say, "We have understood everything that you guys have said in the program when the translator translated, and we appreciate the program." And so after that, we we opened the Bible with them, and we shared John 3:16. And after we finished sharing John 3:16, we even sung a song for them in Portuguese. we knew a song in English. But it's a scripture songs, so we're able to try. We read the Bible and then we try and sing the song along. And these people were blessed. We were blessed as well, knowing that the very same act that the Holy Spirit was able to do to the apostles back in Acts, the Lord was able to do it through us. Not because we were anybody special, but simply because we were willing vessels that He could work through. So we praise God for that. And the next verses, or the verse we want to read is Zechariah 4:6. Now this is a very familiar passage. We all know it, I believe. We have read it one point or another. Okay, I believe we all have it now. Okay, Zechariah 4:6. reads. Now this is the fourth vision of Zechariah, a prophet. Four different visions, three different visions has already passed. Now this is the fourth one. And this is the fifth one. And basically all this has to do with rebuilding the temple. And so this is the fifth. Now God had to tell Zechariah to understand certain things about building the temple, about doing work for him, period. You know, whenever we're doing work for God, he has different instructions that he wants us to follow. And here it says, then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the work of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Amen. Now, this is very interesting, because God told, many people have had many great zeal to do God's work, and then they've been trying to do to rebuild the temple for so long, and now God told them that not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. You see, church, whatever it is that we want to do for the Lord, whenever it is God's work that we desire to do, whenever we have the will and the desire to do God's work, whenever we see the need to do God's work, the process always starts by the Holy Spirit. You see, even in the creation of the earth, when we look at it in different perspective, we realize that the Spirit of God had to over the void first. So the Holy Spirit had to start the process of creation. When it's time for conversion as well, the Holy Spirit also has to start the process, because he has to work in the heart first. We don't do anything. It is really we come, and because the Lord has brought us to somebody he had already been working on. I know we are working on evangelistic meeting right now, Pastor, right? The prophecy seminars. And as working, these people who come to the meetings are people that the Lord had already been working, or the Holy Spirit had already been opening doors for them, so their hearts are already ready for them to receive the gospel. So when they come here, they have a mind to ready to learn, and a mind and a heart ready to be converted, because the Holy Spirit had already been working through them. And so we don't do anything of ourselves. The process has already started by the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit simply needs willing vessels to go for them. And as we go as willing vessels, then he will fill us up. This is where the outpouring of the Spirit comes. He will fill us up. Because what are we? We are simply vessels to be used by him. So nothing is good in us. And the people that we will reach, nothing is good in them. But simply the Holy Spirit has chosen them, has opened their hearts, and for them now to receive Jesus. And so I just want to remind you of this, church, that God right now is seeking for willing vessels. As we can empty ourselves of our own thoughts, of our own desires, of our own agendas, then the Holy Spirit is able then to use us to reach somebody. Because the world is dying now, and the earth, people who don't know God are crying out and asking when would things end, things end. And so now we have the truth, we have the gospel, and so the Lord is searching for people, for vessels to use, because God desired that we would finish this work. He wants humanity to save humanity. He doesn't want angels, because angels have done this a long time ago. But God simply desired willing vessels. What you saw there was simply willing, children, the students who desire to be used by God, and so they go forth and the Lord use them. Nothing special about them. They're just willing vessels, and the Holy Spirit fill them up, and they're able to go forth. And I tell you the truth, that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is simply this, that people will give up of themselves and allow the Holy Spirit to come in, because the Holy Spirit cannot pull in if it doesn't have an empty vessel to go into. And so if we desire outpouring of the Spirit, I know the church is talking a lot about the ladder rain, all this and that. But the ladder rain cannot fall if it doesn't have a container to be fall into. And so we need to be ready vessels that the Holy Spirit will be able to use in the last days. So so how many of us today are willing to be willing vessels that the Lord may be able to use us today? Praise God. Let us say with a prayer. Father, Lord Almighty, we thank you so much for your love and mercy. Lord, we are so wretched, O God Almighty. And Lord, we are unable, O God Almighty, to do anything of ourselves. And even, O Lord, sometimes our cups, O God Almighty, are filled of ourselves, O Lord, of our pride, O God, of our own desires, O Lord, and all our own agendas, Father, Lord. But Lord, we desire, O Lord, to be emptied, O Lord. We know we cannot do it of ourselves. Even that process, O Lord, is of the Holy Ghost. But Lord, we want to be willing, O God, that you will take away from us, O Lord, ourselves, O Lord. That, Lord, you may fill us up, O God, and our neighbors, O Lord, or whomever, O Lord, you may put in our minds, O Lord, to be rich, O Lord. May be able to be rich, O God, because we will not be full of ourselves, but we'll be full of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, O Lord, and we love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.